to assist the national revenge, and the hopeless resistance of the strangers served only to justify the rage and sharpen the daggers of the assassins. Neither age, nor sex, nor the ties of friendship or kindred could save the victims of national hatred and avarice and religious zeal. The Latins were slaughtered in their houses and in the streets. Their quarter was reduced to ashes. The clergy were burnt in their churches, and the sick in their hospitals. And some estimate may be formed of the slain from the clemency which sold above 4,000 Christians in perpetual slavery to the Turks. The priests and monks were the loudest and most active in the destruction of the schismatics, and they chanted a thanksgiving to the Lord when the head of a Roman cardinal, the Pope's legate, was severed from his body, fastened to the tail of a dog, and dragged with savage mockery through the city. The more diligent of the strangers had retreated on the first alarm to their vessels and escaped through the Hellespont from the scene of blood. In their flight, they burnt and ravaged 200 miles of the seacoast, inflicted a severe revenge on the guiltless subjects of the empire, marked the priests and monks as their peculiar enemies, and compensated, by the accumulation of plunder, the loss of their property and friends. On their return, they exposed to Italy and Europe the wealth and weakness, the perfidy and malice of the Greeks, whose vices were painted as the genuine characters of heresy and schism. The scruples of the first crusaders had neglected the fairest opportunities of securing, by the possession of Constantinople, the way to the Holy Land. A domestic revolution invited and almost compelled the French and Venetians to achieve the conquest of the Roman Empire of the East. In the last days of Pope Eugenius IV, two of his servants, the learned Poggius and a friend, ascended the Capitoline Hill, reposed themselves among the ruins of columns and temples, and viewed from that commanding spot the wide and various prospect of desolation. The place and the object gave ample scope for moralizing on the vicissitudes of fortune, which spares neither man nor the proudest of his works, which buries empires and cities in a common grave. And it was agreed that, in proportion to her former greatness, the fall of Rome was the more awful and deplorable. Her primeval state, such as she might appear in a remote age, when Evander entertained the stranger of Troy, has been delineated by the fancy of Virgil. This Tarpeian rock was then a savage and solitary thicket. In the time of the poet, it was crowned with the golden roofs of a temple. The temple is overthrown. The gold has been pillaged. The Wheel of Fortune has accomplished her revolution, and the sacred ground is again disfigured with thorns and brambles. The hill of the Capitol, on which we sit, was formerly the head of the Roman Empire, the citadel of the earth, the terror of kings. Illustrated by the footsteps of so many triumphs, enriched with the spoils and tributes of so many nations, this spectacle of the world, how is it fallen? How changed? How defaced? The path of victory is obliterated by vines, and the benches of the senators are concealed by a dunghill. Cast your eyes on the Palatine Hill, and seek among the shapeless and enormous fragments the marble theatre, the obelisks, the colossal statues, the porticos of Nero's palace. Survey the other hills of the city. The vacant space is interrupted only by ruins and gardens. The forum of the Roman people, where they assemble to enact their laws and elect their magistrates, is now enclosed for the cultivation of pot herbs, or thrown open for the reception of swine and buffaloes. The public and private edifices that were founded for eternity lie prostrate, naked and broken, like the limbs of a mighty giant. And the ruin is the more visible from the stupendous relics that have survived the injuries of time and fortune. These relics are minutely described by Poggius, one of the first who raised his eyes from the monuments of legendary to those of classic superstition. 1. Besides a bridge, an arch, a sepulchre, and the pyramid of Cestius, he could discern, of the age of the Republic, a double row of vaults in the salt office of the capital, which were inscribed with the name and munificence of Catulus. 2. 11 temples were visible in some degree.